coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Tippett. Dave, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Very much. I'm doing well.
Awesome.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's start with the serious things, Dave. How is your golf game? Because, of course, we're auctioning off a chance to golf with you and in Mark Spector's golf tournament on July 31st. How's your game right now?
You know what? I'm going to head to Arizona for a week or so, and so it'll get better. I actually played a lot a couple years ago when I kind of took a break from the game and got my handicap down to mid-single digits, and then haven't played as much lately, but played a couple weeks ago and played all right. So I'm anywhere from 75 to 85.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that.
In a scramble, I'll just hit it as hard as I can, and we'll move on to the next shot.
Oh, hey, there you go.
But I got to say, I'm a goofy Canadian because I know there's been some other Canadian golfers like this that play down in the course I belong to in Arizona. I putt right, but I putt left because I used to play hockey left, and putting is like passing to me. So they call me a goofy Canadian for playing right and putting left.
That is awesome. I love it. Golf right, but you putt left. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get into the mental mind game with your opposition on the first hole if they don't know what's going on.
There's many a guy look at me and on the first green and go like, I just saw you hit right. How come you're putting left? But putting was always just like passing to me in hockey, and I played hockey left, so I just started passing or putting left.
Hey, that's totally fair. I get it. Now, Dave, when I found out you're coming on the show, I was doing a little digging, and I uncovered from some of your friends back home as a teenager in Prince Albert that you were quite the phenomenal soccer player, that, in fact, you and a teammate went over to Europe for a soccer skills competition. Is it true you won this skills competition in
I won it for all of Canada, and then I placed eighth in the world in Europe, yeah.
Okay, and what was it? What was the competition?
It was called the Adidas Skills Competition. It was sponsored by Adidas, and it was, you know, have you ever seen, and I know in the States they have like a kick, pass, and punt thing, or, you know, it's like a sports skill. So it was a thing that just tested your skill, and you had to win in your... You had a contest in your city or your town, and then you went to a provincial contest, and then there was one person went from each province down to Toronto and competed in the Canadian Championship. So I, in Prince Albert, I started playing soccer to kind of stay in shape for hockey and started working away at it, and ended up I was a Canadian champion, and I actually played on the Canadian national team right up till I was about 16, something like that, and then hockey took over, and I kind of backed away from it.
Wow. Well, now, obviously, you chose the right path because you made it to the NHL in hockey. Were you better at soccer than hockey, do you think?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, as a young player, I could juggle a ball a long time and do a bunch of that stuff, but my passion was always hockey. I always thought I would be a hockey player, not a soccer player.
Okay, no, that's
I enjoyed soccer, but I just liked hockey a lot more.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not many soccer players coming out of Saskatchewan, Dave. Like, you know, it's more of a football province than hockey than it necessarily was soccer. So, you know, to win in Canada and then place eighth in the world, I know your friends were telling me how your ability to dribble a ball was unbelievable. There's something like a 300 test where, I don't know, you got to keep the ball in the air at like 300 dribbles or something. Is that true? You could do that?
The first event at the Worlds was you had to stand in the center circle and you had to juggle a ball without letting it hit the ground. You had to do 300 touches on your right foot and then go 300 touches on your left foot and then 300 back and forth and then 100 on your head for 1,000 points. So you couldn't let it drop for 1,000 touches. And I finished at 1,000 in that. So I could juggle a ball for a while. That was one of the skills I had.
That is unreal. Oh, man. So now I know a lot of NHL players, Dave Tippett joined us. They like to warm up playing soccer, Dave. I see it all the time. They're down there. They're dribbling. They're hanging out. True or false? One of your Dallas players was thought he was pretty good, and then the coach came and wagered him, and the coach won in a dribbling contest.
I think it was a 50. I think it was a 50, a quick 50 bucks for me.
Which player was it?
It was a wager. I forget. I think it was L.A. I forget.
Okay.
It was a player walked by and did something about, I think it was a European player, about juggling. I can do 50 times on my head. And they laughed at me, and I had a graduate and a tie on, juggled with 50 times on my head, and took my 50 bucks and walked away.
Oh, that is awesome. So you still got it, is what you're saying right now. Like, if we.
No, you know what? I haven't juggled the ball in ages, let alone my head. I've had four neck surgeries now.
Okay.
So that probably curtails four neck surgeries and probably a couple concussions later. It's my juggle.
Well, I can understand if you wouldn't use any headers, but if I got you a soccer ball, you probably could juggle it with your feet after a few practice tries, I bet. Maybe not 300 in a row, but you probably get to 100.
Yeah, I could probably find something to do there, yeah.
Dave Tippett joins us. And, you know, Dave, it's the offseason. Obviously, we're talking golf. We're talking soccer. And as a coach, so at this time of the season, when you're a new coach, are you sitting back and relaxing, or are you poring over video right now?
The game on right now, it's third period of a game against Washington. And Oilers are leading. What's the date of the game? The date of the game is...
Well, that'd be like October 23rd, maybe.
Yeah.
When they won 4-1.
4-1, yeah. It's 3:52 left in the game, and they're up 3-1. So that's what I'm...
I apologize. I just ruined the ending. They actually win that one 4-1, but...
4-1.
Yeah. So now...
All the clips broken down.
Yeah. So you go through every game of the year?
Not every game.
Okay.
I'm going to say 20 or 25. There's different things I look for. Like, there's different things I look for in situations in a game, and then looking at individual players. I got all the video, all the Edmonton games. I can get every Bakersfield game. So I watch, you know, trying to get to know players, get to know the structure, what some of them are familiar with, and how things are going to tweak under what I'd like to try to do. So, you know, I spend, I wouldn't say spend the whole day on it, but every day a little bit here and there just to get myself up to speed.
When you're watching an individual, Dave, and you have so much coaching experience and you've played the game right away, do you look for tendencies, or are you looking to see just kind of what their reads are of a play at a certain position on the ice?
A little bit of both, and like there's two ways when you watch an individual, you've got to get away from watching the structure of the game, because normally a coach watches the structure of a game. Like you know you see how the players are playing together, and I do watch some of that. And when I watch an individual player, it comes down to, you know, the plays that I make in a certain situation. On the back side of a pile, on the right side of a pile, things like that that just give you, players have tendencies, and then you can see them in certain times with just a skill level, making a play in a small space, stuff like that, that is stuff you kind of look for.
Dave Tippett joins us, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, and you have the opportunity to golf with Dave on July 31st. It's all for Sports Central, and I think we just got a new bid in, Dave. Obviously, your soccer and golf, we're up to $3,000 now, an opportunity to tee it up with Dave. So you'll be bringing some good stories for that foursome, too, I would think, so that'll be awesome. Mike Smith, we had him on the show last week, and you know, he was very excited. Of course, you guys worked together 6 years in Arizona, and he, of course, in Dallas prior to that. And you know, he had a lot of glowing things to say about you, just in how you approach players. You're very, you know, you're very straightforward. There's no gray area with you. And he says you're a system coach who just preaches work ethic and attention to detail. So when you're watching video on guys, and so you see obviously their ability. You're not in the NHL if you don't have ability. There's no question. Is it then just come down to how the guy, is it hockey sense and anticipation, or is it sometime, hey, you know what, maybe I can just talk to him a few times about going 3 inches to the left or the right in a tendency, and suddenly he'll be in position better. Like, are you that fine-tuning when you're watching film on guys?
Yeah, there's a play with the puck. So when players have the puck, when your team has the puck, it's more freelance. You gotta support the puck. You're not going to be in a certain spot. I mean, there's control breakouts and some things like that where you want to have, you know, there's patterns, but it's a lot of the stuff is playing without the puck, and it's how you play as five on the ice, or if you're, you know, a power player, penalty kill accordingly, but how the five guys play together. And it's funny how when you watch it close, one guy's positioning, if he's out of sync, it really can make the other four out of sync. It creates a crack in what you're trying to do. So I'm a big believer in when you don't have the puck, you have five guys play well together, and if your goaltender gives you a solid game, you can really defend well. And so it's when you talk about system stuff, it's doing the right things without the puck to give yourself a chance to get it back again quick and protect your goaltender.
Dave Dippitt joins protecting the goaltender, and Mike Smith alluded to that as well. He said, "You as a goalie, it's so much easier to know when if guys play the system, you can kind of not cheat per se, but you anticipate that, okay, this guy should be here on this play, so I can maybe be more aggressive there, right? So that five-man unit almost becomes like a six-man unit in the defensive zone because it includes the goalie?
That's exactly it. The goaltenders, most goaltenders I know are really intelligent hockey guys because they watch the play, they understand what's happening, and I've got some good, like Schmitty understands what's going on in the game. One of the I'll go way back to when I first started playing in the league. My neighbor was a guy named Mike Liut, who is really an intelligent guy. We were like the odd couple. We'd ride to the rink together, and he'd talk about what's happening in a game, and I was amazed at how much he knew. But you know, another guy that is a really smart guy, and people don't give him credit for it, is Brizgalov, who I had in Arizona. Really smart hockey guy, could understand what's going on in front of him. So when a goaltender has that understanding what's going on, he knows that the team in front of him is playing well, and that gives the goaltender confidence. They feel like they can do a good job. You know, they go into a game, they know they got a chance. Those are things that, that's what I preach, playing like a team, and the five guys in front of the goaltender, but the goaltender is a big part of that also.
Dave Tippett joins us. Dave, where did you learn how to communicate so well with your players? Like, I don't know if that was from your parents or you picked up on it, because every ex-player of yours that I've spoke to raves about just Dave was very straightforward, and you know, you could be honest, and that doesn't mean that you're always patting guys on the back. Sometimes you got to kick them in the rear end too, but it was just in the way you delivered it, and every personality is different, right? So how have you tapped into knowing how to communicate with the introverts and the extroverts and the veterans and the rookies and, you know, guys who need a pat in the back and guys who need a kick? How have you learned that over the years?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is you got to get to know them as people, not just as players, you know. So you might not be best friends, but you understand, you know, their situation, what they're trying to accomplish. You understand their upbringing a little bit, you know, their family situation. You care like it's a family person, and your team is a family, you know. So as a coach, you got to be, you're part of the group too. It's just that's you're all trying to win together, so you might as well care about each other. But I like to, you know, as a player, I always liked coaches who were, you know, they talked to you, they were very upfront, and sometimes, you know, I used to have a saying that as good as I wanted to be, the game didn't let me be good because I was sitting on the bench for so long. So it was, I'd come home, my wife would ask me, how'd you play? I go, well, I thought I played pretty good, but, you know, I didn't do much because I wasn't on the ice. you understand certain situations, but I think it's about being honest with players and giving players respect, and they give you that respect back.
Knowing that, Dave, having been a guy who sat on the bench, and obviously every player wants to play more, there's no question about it. And when you have elite guys like McDavid and Draisaitl, who, you know, were right up there in minutes played, they're young guys in their prime, fair to say we're expecting those guys to be 21, 22 minutes a night guys just because they're that good?
Depends what else we have. If we've got other guys that good too, then there'll be a little less. But it'll depend on what the game dictates, you know, and there are special teams that take a lot of time on it. You get a run of power plays, three, four power plays in a row, and those guys are going to eat up a lot of ice time with that. Then they're going to play a little more, you know. But it depends how the game's going, what you have to do to win. And those are great assets for a coach to have. You got to make sure you maximize those assets. But to sit here and tell you they're going to play 22 minutes or 21 minutes or 26 minutes or 18 minutes, it's you have to get in a game and see how it's going.
Okay. How long do you feel as a coach of a new team is it going to take you to understand what makes your guys tick?
At training camp, I've touched base with a lot of them so far. So you start to, with some of that communication. But going through camp, I'll have a pretty good idea. I'll have a pretty good idea of the players that were there, the new players coming in. They'll be a main part of the focus in training camp to really get to know them and get to know their games quickly. And then as I get to know their games and have a read on the players that have been there, then we try to form the structure of how our team's going to play and how we maximize each player's strengths. So it'll be a process. It'll take some time in training camp, but you'll see the guys that I'm looking to get to know better and learn more about and try to fast track and see what they can do. They'll be playing a lot of exhibition games. There'll be some players that I know as well. And, I know Connor very well from the World Cup and talking to him. I mean, that's a conversation that I'll have with Connor and how many games do you need to play? But there'll be other players that I need to get to know them and for them to have a chance to be on the team or play significant minutes on the team, they're going to have to prove their worth in training camp.
Dave Tippett joins us, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Dave, all of us at different times in our lives have a bias, right? And I think the smart people find a way to recognize what the bias is and not let them influence their decisions too much. Glenn Gallatin was here. He knows the players. Do you want to come in and make your own assessment, or do you like to get feedback prior? Or do you worry about maybe coming in with a bias of a player having heard something about him, or do you have to see him first and then make your evaluation?
No, I like to take as much information as I can, but I'll make my own opinion.
Okay.
So, there's everybody with my coaching staff. I always try to let them all speak first, and I'll take a lot of the notes or take a lot of things in, and then eventually it's the head guy is the guy that's got to make some decisions. But everybody will have an opinion, and I'm going to value Glenn's opinion because he knows some of these players very well.
Dave, being in a hockey market, I know you talked about you're excited to be there. It's hockey all the time, and fans are interested in everything about the team. A lot of text people, if I don't ask this question, I'll get in trouble. A lot are curious about the stash. Is the Tippett stash going to be front and center this year?
I haven't had the stash for a long time. I think last year in Dallas I got rid of it. I don't know why. I haven't had it in over 10 years, I know, so there's no plan right now to bring it back, although my wife actually liked it, which was surprising to me. But I had the stash. There was a bunch of us in Hartford that we always took our teeth out to play, so none of us had any front teeth. There was myself and Joe Quinville and who was it? I forget, maybe Dave Babich or whatever. Bunch of us had big stashes because we had no teeth. That was to cover up the no teeth thing. But luckily, I've gone past that stage and I've got some permanent teeth put in, so maybe don't need the stash as much anymore.
Now, last year, Peter Laviolette had quite a bet with his team, and the players won all the games, and he had to show up in an interview with his real massive hat on and stuff. If your players made a bet, like what would it take to bring the stash back?
You'd have to have a pretty good bet with that one. I saw Peter on that one, and that was up in Edmonton.
Yeah.
I think he put that on. Yeah, that's just bad betting by him.
Well, I know how.
There's other things you could leverage with that. Buy the team lunch. There's a lot of things you could do.
I know players love looking for unique ways, to motivate. So if that means bring the stash back, like maybe a first place finish in the division, maybe that's bring the stash.
There you go. We'll work on that. Yeah.
Well, Dave,
we'll have to get to a lot of things in between there and the stash before we can, I can negotiate well.
Well, that's totally fair. Well, Dave, I appreciate it. We're up to 3,500 on the opportunity to golf with you on July 31st for a great cause at Sports Central, and people are going to love it. You're crushing the ball right, and then when you get on the green, you'll be putting left. It's fantastic.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, well,
I'll be looking forward to playing with it. I'm an avid golfer, so anytime we can get out and play with especially some fans and get up and play my first course up in Edmonton, I look forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, Dave, and thanks for helping out in the charity. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Have a great day, guys. Take care.